This is a Southeast Leather Fest extravaganza from the Kinky Cast.
Hi, this is Woody, and here at SELF, I'm on the bootblack stand with Tidbit. How are you, Tidbit?
I'm doing great. How are you, Woody?
So you're standing here supervising this operation, and Lily is here at my feet, or my boots.
Yes, she is.
And so tell me about your history in bootblacking.
I actually started bootblacking back in 2000 before I knew what bootblacking was. I was working EMS and blacked my boots every morning at the base before I went out on jobs. And it turned into fellow employees coming in the door and taking off their boots, lining them up beside the couch in the base, and I would black everybody's boots while they checked off my truck. And so I started out, blacking everybody else's boots before I even knew what it was. And then as I came into the leather community, was kind of surprised to see bootblack stands appearing everywhere and realizing that this, I could incorporate that into, part of being leather, and was quite happy.
So it came very natural to you.
It did.
All right, so I'm sitting on the stand. What next? Put my feet up high.
There you go. First thing you're going to do is put your feet up there on the stand. She's going to roll up your pants legs and get them out of the way, because we don't want soap and polish on those nice pretty jeans.
There you go.
And the other leg.
So Lily here has been doing boot blacking for how long?
2 years. 2 years.
Under your tutelage?
Under my tutelage, yes. If she does a great job, I taught her everything she knows. If she doesn't, then I don't even know her.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's probably noticing that these boots don't have a lot of mileage on them.
No, they don't. They look pretty good. What she's doing right now, that little pause, is she's trying to memorize your lacing pattern before she takes the laces out of your boots.
Make them correct. And I'll have to give demerits to the last one that blacked me.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's not memorizing your pattern anymore. She's just going to fix it when she relaces them.
There you go. That's a really good thing.
One small service we provide.
So there's two stands here in the boot blacking area. And I guess it gets pretty busy as everybody prepares for the night's festivities.
It does. Probably around 3 or 4 o'clock this afternoon, these chairs will be absolutely slammed. I believe that it may be right about now. That other empty chair over there is the contestant's preference. There is a bootblack contestant for SELF that has the option of coming over and blacking in that chair, I believe, during this time period, which is why it's empty at the moment.
And so when a contestant comes in there, they're looking to get approval from the masses here? Or?
Correct. There's a judging system. They have to get a certain number of points. There are a certain number of points assigned for different categories, such as for the bootblack title. There is technical skill. There is, belief formal wear for this category. They take a look at, what you're wearing and, how do your own leathers look. They judge how you interact with different attendees over the course of the weekend. So even when you're not actually in an interview or giving a speech on stage, the judges are watching you. And they're watching how you mingle with everybody and how you interact. Lily is now soaping up your boots. He's a product called glycerin. Not a whole lot of additives in it, not a whole lot of extra stuff. And she's going to lather those up real good.
It's very white and foamy.
It is very white and foamy, and it's, we go for a good lather so that, you get more lather on your boots than water. And then once we take that soap off, it's going to hopefully take the dirt with it. Yours were pretty clean to begin with.
I don't run around in the mud too much.
That's good.
These particular boots are 12 years old.
Wow. They do not look like 12-year-old boots. I got to give you that. Very well taken care of.
No matter how poorly they were laced.
So now we're taking off all of that lather. And she's probably going to go in here in a little bit with some Q-tips or a toothbrush. Some sort of way of getting it out of all the eyelets and the seams and the places the towel can't reach.
The lighting where we are right now is quite good. I've seen this in dungeons in the darkness, and it must be a little hard to find all the nooks and crannies then.
It is. It's actually commonplace in a bootblack kit to find a headlamp. We will we'll throw on a headlamp and light up our work. Dungeons and bars are typically extremely dark. you know, another place you find it difficult to black is if there's a cigar social going on outside. And, you know, usually they take place, you know, 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and you've got no outdoor lighting. Now you need a headlamp. So it's very commonplace to find a headlamp and a bootblack's kit. Now, we are fortunate here. The lighting is very good where we're set up. And here come the Q-tips.
Through the eyelets and get all the
glycerin
out of there.
Just pulling that Q-tip completely through, make sure we get all the lather out.
Now she's going
around with a toothbrush and getting the lather off of what we call the catwalk, which is that part where the leather meets the sole of your boot. You get that little edge there that we commonly call the catwalk. She's doing a pretty good job. I might admit to teaching this one.
Well, she looks like she's doing a fine job to me, but I am an amateur when it comes to this.
She's doing an excellent job. Yeah, one thing that happens with glycerin soap, if you don't get all the lather off, it will actually turn like hazy and crusty, and you'll go finding it later. And I will admit to having done it on my own boots. Get in a hurry and leave a little bit of lather somewhere. Those look good, Lily. And as you can see, that was just a very, very small amount of water she sprayed in there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's using actually a little portable soap dish, a little travel soap dish to work her lather up in. And these are great because after she's done with her chair time, she can take all of that into the bathroom and rinse out that soap box. And it's ready to go for next time.
So she draws up a little bit of the glycerin soap with, mm-hmm. with the water mist.
Right.
And then goes to this empty soap dish.
To work up the lather. Okay. Correct. Some people will use a small Tupperware bowl, empty bowl, with a little water misted in the bottom of it. But basically, you know, overall is the soap is in one container, and then you work up the lather in another.
This little soap box has little ridges in it, so I guess that's helpful at bringing
it does.
Up
it
the
helps,
lather.
It helps with the lather. And I use a soap dish as well. I like them because they're small. You've already got this dish of soap in your kit, and now you're adding another bowl to mix the lather up in. And when you've been a bootblack for a while, you begin to collect polishes and creams and lotions and, you know, all kinds of bottles and gadgets, and your kit gets very, very full. So the smaller the better.
Everybody's got a different type of boot,
and
so you have different leather types that you're dealing with, mm-hmm. and I guess even down to the laces are all different.
Exactly. You know, I know in my kit, I've got at least, I want to say, 8 different colors of polish. I've got several different brands. You know, not only do you have folks with different kind of boots, you have folks with different kinds of preferences. As to, you know, some folks will only want Kiwi on their boots. Other folks will only want Lincoln on their boots. And so, you know, you run into different preferences that you have to accommodate.
In the past, I've had some boots that had white stitching along the catwalk, and I've had it dyed to be black, so it's not noticeable. And so that becomes a step.
Right. I've got a small little bottle of dye in my kit, and I also have China pencils. For the folks that do have the colored stitching that want to keep it colored, I think I've got 5 or 6 different colors of that. And also, you know, one, it brings out the color of the stitching, and two, it helps protect the stitching from when you go to buff after applying the polish, you don't end up with polish on the stitches. You know, so you got somebody wearing Doc Martens that has, yellow stitching, and now you're buffing their, over the yellow stitching, a black polish, they'll end up with black smudges on their yellow stitches. And so I carry, you know, China pencils to help correct that problem.
So that's just a waxy mask that you put over the...
Right, right. You know, they make them in yellow, red, white, black. And it's just some people call them grease pencils. But you can get them at most arts and crafts stores have them. And she's now going to slide a Q-tip through on the other boot, get all that lather off. We're almost done cleaning. And she's hitting all your seams and edges with the Q-tip on that boot. We're almost done. Next comes the polish. Lily actually does something a little different than a lot of other bootblacks. Lily will stack everything on top of her kit. A lot of other bootblacks will stack their products on the bootblack stand pretty much underneath you. So, it's, you know, every bootblack has a different method. You know, you go with what works for you. There is no one true correct way. Now, what she's doing now is applying a conditioner. This is a cream-based conditioner. Your boots are just going to kind of soak it up real quick, and There's no beeswax or anything to leave a coating in this stuff. It's just going to soak up and go away, and then she'll be able to polish on top.
What does the conditioner do to the leather?
The conditioner basically feeds the leather. If you don't condition your leather, you end up with hard, brittle leather that's, after a while, is honestly not very comfortable to wear, whether it be boots or a vest. The conditioner actually lubricates the fibers of the leather so that they move more freely.
So it has a lot to do with drying out, the leather drying out,
exactly.
And getting hard.
It does. Mm-hmm. And when your leather dries out, it gets hard and brittle. I don't know if you've ever had a piece of leather that you left in the basement or left it in the garage and forgot about it. And, you know, it's not very pliable after a while. So this is, you know, one thing we do is condition the leather before we apply the polish, because you need to feed it. It's got to eat. One place that is notorious on a pair of boots for getting dry is the tongue. A lot of people, you know, focus on the outside of the boot, but forget about the tongue. And that's going to be the thinnest piece of leather, and the piece that's the closest to your foot, honestly. If it gets hard and brittle, it's going to cause you the most discomfort. So that's what she's doing now, is conditioning the tongue. And as you can see, that conditioner has just soaked right up. No oily or greasy residue on your boot.
They seem to be quite thirsty.
They did seem to be a little thirsty. Now, if you're wearing a high shine boot. If you were wearing an oil tan, Lily would more than likely go with a different kind of conditioner, whether it be an Aussie beeswax base or a Hubert's, which is a pine tar base. And that will leave a greasy residue. You want those to leave a greasy residue. But you don't want to put that on what you're wearing now. We want the polish to stick here in a few minutes. So
she's detailing around the eyelets.
Now, I have seen bootblacks put Hubert's on high shines like you're wearing, but then you're looking at a time issue where you've got to wait for the Hubert's to soak in and dry up. This product she's using right now soaks in a lot faster, and she can continue on with polishing without having to make sure all the Hubert's is soaked in and gone. And we've done a little bit of experimenting with this product to make sure that we can polish over the top of it, and that the polish will actually stick to the boot. During our experimentation, we have found that it does.
Yeah, I have to admit, that feels pretty good right there.
It does feel pretty good. One of the side effects of massaging conditioner into a boot is you end up getting a foot and calf massage. You know, and at this point, we really try to connect with you through your boot. This is where the energy exchange happens.
And I will say I enjoy the energy exchange.
Yeah, we have spectators very curious as to what we're doing. She's going to add a touch more, and one of the things she's doing in between is making sure that it's not gooping up in the seams, where it's going to affect the polish later. So we're just making sure it's going straight onto the leather and not collecting in any little pockets anywhere and getting all soaked up. I don't know, I got to say, I think I taught this one well.
There's many details you don't think about that I'm watching her do right now. She's using her fingernail up in the seams.
Yeah, there's a lot of intricate detail work that goes along with bootblack. A lot of folks that have never done it don't realize that there's a lot of small detail work. Because you can slap a coat of polish on the boots, but if you miss the edges and the seams, it really affects the overall look of the boot.
Boot blacking is generally done as a service to the community. But the thing we need to remember is that a tip is really required here.
Tips are greatly appreciated. Bootblacks, they purchase everything that's in their kit, and at some point it gets used up and it's got to be replenished. A lot of events will request that bootblacks donate part of their tips to a local charity. Some allow bootblacks to keep all of their tips. Some require bootblacks donate all of their tips. You know, different events have different requests for bootblacks. But yeah, tipping is very appreciated, because you know we have to go out and replenish what we use. And you know, from my personal experience, one can of Lincoln shoe polish is on average $7 or $8. That conditioner that she's using on you now, that small little tube will probably run you about $8 or $9. You can get larger bottles of it for $20. You can buy about a gallon. You can get Hubert's in like the can literally looks like a paint can. They're huge. But yeah, tips are greatly appreciated so that we can continue to do what we do.
Since we don't calculate the standard percentage in tips, since we're not paying for the shine,
right?
What is the appropriate tip for something like this?
I know with me, you know, my personal experience, if someone sits down and I'm doing a quick clean and grease on an oil tan boot, a $10 tip is common. If they're asking me to do a high shine and then condition a vest that they're wearing, a $20 tip would be appropriate. And it just, you know, if they just want a, you know, come up and, oh, my belt is a little dry, could you condition that for me? You know, if, you know, in that case, you know, a couple dollars, $5 is appropriate. It's pretty consummate to what they're wanting us to do. But, you know, $10 and $20 tips are very common. And as you can see, a high shine boot is going to involve a lot more work than if you were wearing oil tans.
I'm seeing that, yes.
And now she's putting the polish on with her hands, working in small circles to make sure we get every inch of the boot covered. And she's using Lincoln because you, I believe you said you were requesting Lincoln. We try to ask our customers what they prefer or what's been used before on the boot. Sometimes we can have a little trouble if they, you know, say they've got 20 coats of Lincoln on their boot and then we go trying to put another brand on top of it. So it's useful for us if you are aware of what product has been used on your boot in the past. You know, it's got 8 coats of Lincoln, then the next coat we put on, we want it to be Lincoln as well.
The last time these were done was in a dungeon. It was dark, and I did not see what it was, and they didn't tell me.
Well, we're hoping it's Lincoln. We will find out when she goes to buff. Sometimes if you mix polishes, if you put a different polish on top of one that's been there and built up several coats, it will turn hazy as we try to buff it off. It won't stick very well. And you'll end up with a hazy coating, and then we got to start over. So she's making sure to get, you know, up against all of your seams and down against the edge of the catwalk. One of the things that just happened was another boot black got asked to condition somebody's boots and did not have his kit down here with him, so he's asking to borrow mine. We commonly loan each other other products, and if we have a couple of stands side by side, you know, hey, do you have any edge dressing, or can I borrow your Huberts, or I just ran out of black gold. Very commonplace for bootlegs to share product or loan. That is what Andy is doing right now, is digging through my kit, hopefully finding what he needs.
So what is black gold?
Black gold is a Huberts type of product. It's a pine tar base that's actually got black coloring in it. So it's a conditioner with a black tint so that it somebody's garments are looking a little... on the dull gray side of black, we can give them a little boost of color. The mate to black gold is something called Havana gold that has a brown tint to it. And we can do the same thing, kind of bring a little bit of color back to faded leathers. And what you're seeing on that other stand is going to be a garment care, which is actually, that's one of my favorite things to do, is to condition these pants while he's wearing them. And Andy's pretty much going to get that black gold all over his hands, maybe his face, I'm not really sure yet. We'll find out shortly. Now Lily's working around your eyelets here, making sure she's getting the polish in. Even though it doesn't look like a very thick coat, once you go to buff it off, you immediately see if you missed a spot. And it's very annoying. Lily is nodding, yes. It's very annoying. And as you can see, boot blacks kind of sometimes have to turn into contortionists to make sure that they get every part of your boot. Because when you've got your feet up on the stands there, sometimes it's hard to get to, like, your heel and...
And when you get in your own light also.
Yes. Now she's created a shadow that she's trying to work with. And what I was talking about with the soap a minute ago is you can see Andy over there on that other stand is doing what I do with the soap dish. And is now soaping up his leather pants the same way Lily just did your boots. And now Lily is demonstrating the contortionist act, standing on her head. After a few minutes of this, the blood kind of rushes to your head and you get a little dizzy.
There's a lot of intensity going on there.
There is. She's concentrating very, very hard. And I think part of this may be that her mentor is standing right here, giving a play-by-play of everything she's doing. No pressure. And I believe Lily became my mentee right around... It was the beginning of my title year, wasn't it? Oh, so several months into my title year.
We met at the run, I think, shortly after that. I asked you to be my mentor.
You are correct. Now I remember.
Because I just knew you were the one.
She just knew.
Lily, how long have you been in the lifestyle?
2 years, starting February of 2012.
And then how long have you been bootblacking?
Right around
2 years. Right around 2 years.
So you came into the lifestyle and right into the leather.
My first event was Self 17 in 2012. And right around the same time was when I realized I like boot blacking.
Once she made that realization, you could not pry her away from it. She wanted to soak up every single piece of information she could. She was like a sponge.
Enthusiasm is a good thing when somebody comes into the lifestyle.
More than just a passion. This is a love and part of who we are.
When she asked me to be her mentor, I saw that, and that's why I agreed to, because I saw that passion that she had. I saw that connection that she had with the leather and that she was having with people who wore the leather. And that, you know, that's one of the things that makes us different than a shoe shine, is that connection that we have with who's sitting in our chair. That, and we don't just do boots. We like to get our hands on some pants and some vests and jock straps. If it's leather, we can touch it. That's the rule.
A lot of the vests have pins on them. So to do the vest, you need to take all those pins out.
It's ultimately up to our customer. I always work around pins. If I'm conditioning somebody's vest, you know, I'll get my fingers in. Most of these pins will pivot a little bit, and you can get up underneath them. I don't typically take pins off. Even if it's a take-home project, even if it's somebody's vest that I'm going to take home, unless they specifically ask me to. At which point, I pull out my camera, take a picture of the vest before I take the pins off, and then I'll condition everything and then put all the pins back. But typically, I only take the pins off if it's a take-home project and they specifically ask me to. Most folks that are wearing these vests with all the pins have a pretty big attachment to their pins.
And there's a lot of years collecting them.
There's a lot of years collecting them, and a lot of them, they don't want their pins touched. So some folks that have been living this for decades, you can't even see their leather anymore for all the pins. At that point, you wish you had an aerosol conditioner that you could just spray and it would soak in, because you're not going to get to the leather. And we're going on with coat of polish on your second boot here, just like I taught her. See, she's a sponge.
Let's talk about the different types of leather for a second. You have the leather vests that we see around here a lot. They have kind of a satin sheen to them under the light. Sometimes you see a very shiny leather that's more resemblant of my boots right now,
right,
in both pants or vests. Mm-hmm. What is that difference in leather? Is it the way it's processed?
A lot of it is different kinds of leather, whether it be a deer hide or a cow hide. Some of it could be buffalo. A lot of it depends on, you know, what animal the leather started life as. Another factor in that is the processing, the tanning process. A lot of it is what you use to condition it. So, you know, as I said, a lot of it starts with the beginning animal, then we got the tanning processes, and then, you know, how you take care of it later, you know, ultimately decides how your leather's going to look. There are some types of leather that you're not going to get a real good shine on them. Like buffalo, for instance, is really heavy, really coarse. It's going to be one of the duller leathers. Doe skin is going to be very soft, very satiny. Often used for like gloves. Really, really, it's not a very pebbly leather, so you can get actually get a pretty good gloss on it. And Lily is now showing one of the reasons why bootblacks usually have a bottle of water somewhere near their stand. We sweat like mad.
Yeah, I can certainly see her working down there.
You don't often realize how all this intricacy can be so exhausting. You'll often see a bootblack working a chair for several hours and then have to tell their next customer, you know, can I get you in 10 minutes? I need to take a break. Lily's starting to get a little worn out there. She's going to need a serious drink from that bottle of water here in a moment. Back when we were teaching Lily, way back at the beginning, she wanted to be able to have a customer sit in her chair for 2 hours while she perfected their boots. And you know, we had to explain to her she could not spend 2 hours perfecting somebody's boots. She had to do a quick shine job. And so we gave her a good shine job, but a quick shine job. And so we gave her an 8-minute goal. And at the 8-minute mark, we made her move on to the next boot. And she got quite angry with us, actually.
Yeah.
Because she didn't feel that she was done and the boot was perfect. And she wanted to be able to work on it some more. And she was quite angry with us that day. After she was done with that customer, she kind of stomped off. And then she realized, it took her a while, but she realized what we were doing. She's gotten a lot better at shortening the shine jobs.
It is nice to see an artist perfecting their science.
Yes, yes.
And it is appreciated.
And she is perfecting her craft.
I will definitely say that these stands need to be lower, or this chair needs to be higher.
I do agree. That's the problem with having, you know, customers and bootblacks of different sizes. Like, I had to borrow a bar stool from the bar over there just to be able to see your feet in the stirrups, as opposed to sitting in a chair, because I'm, you know, tiny. As I was saying earlier, that chair over there is being reserved for the the bootblack contestant who is now stationed over there, and Jack will probably be over in that stand for the next 2 or 3 hours. This would probably be much to Lily's dismay, but her bio mother is now standing directly behind her. No, she's walking away. It's okay. What Lily's doing now is just taking a brush and buffing off your leather. I didn't catch whether or not she sprayed that brush with water or not before she buffed, but some bootblacks do, some don't. Judging by the look she just gave me, not, and she's wondering if she should have. So I've worked with this kid long enough, I know what she's thinking. Just by the look on her face, that one was a little bit of terror. Should I have sprayed it with water? Oh, God. Sometimes spraying the brush with water gets the gives it a better shine. You end up with a water barrier between the brush and the leather, and it actually encourages the polish to stick to the leather instead of coming off on the brush. Now she just sprayed a little bit of water on the brush, and she's going to see the difference in the boot. This is a quick version of a military spit shine. Same purpose of using spit.
You know, I've heard that term my whole life, but I never really knew.
Never knew what it was. Yep, they will. They'll actually use spit or water. Encourages the, like I said, the polish to stick to the boot instead of the brush or the rag or whatever you're using. If done correctly and you're applying it with a rag, you can use a damp rag and apply the polish. If done correctly, you should be able to look at your cloth when you're done, and your cloth may be a little bit gray from the polish, but you won't have a buildup of polish on the cloth. It's actually pretty amazing how it happens. You can dip back into that polish bin dozens of times, but you still won't have any polish left on the rag. It's all on the boots.
Which is where it belongs.
Which is where it's supposed to be, right? Now she's breaking out. I'm not sure if that trouser sock or up. That's a knee-high. Little nylon. We like to use nylon as a finishing buffer. A lot of shoeshine boys will use cotton. And we've discovered over the years that, you know, just the cheap 39-cent nylons at Walmart make great buffing cloths. And as you can see, the shine she's bringing out on that with the
shine's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Just the difference between the buffing brush and the nylon.
I would have never thought of nylon for
mm-hmm.
that.
I like to use, I've got some of those in my kit. One of the things I've started using is I'll spend a little bit more money and get trouser socks. A little thicker and more substantial. And I actually find that I get a better shine with a thicker trouser sock. I'll hit thrift shops and Goodwill and such and find nylon stockings and cut them up.
Trouser sock made of nylon?
Nylon trouser socks. And you can see the shine that she's brought up on your boot just with mm-hmm. that just with that nylon. Now she's moving on to the other boot, and we're going to get a little buffing action here. And then she's going to repeat the process with the nylons. A lot of bootblacks will have several different buffing steps. Some of them will do a brush and then a cotton rag and then a nylon. Some of them won't use a cotton rag. Different steps for different bootblacks. They all have a different procedure, and it's whatever works for you. And we're getting those small, little important areas that don't want to be forgotten, because if they do, they affect the overall look of the boot when you're done, which is very annoying to a perfection-based bootblack like Lily. Those are looking great, Lil.
They've never looked this way.
Really? I'm wondering if she heard that. Yep, she did.
She's smiling.
That's when you're proud of your work, kiddo. Oh, did you see that? She sprayed the brush. I'm going to give this a try now. See the difference, Lily? Another thing, a benefit to spraying your brush with water before you buff is that you don't have to wash your brushes as often.
It's not going to collect on the brush.
It's not collecting on the brush. You don't have to wash your mm-hmm. brushes as often. Because otherwise, you can end up with your brushes just caked with polish, which is why it's important to have several different brushes in your kit. Different colors of boots. You don't want somebody with red boots. You don't want to sit down and buff them with a brush that's been caked in black polish. So I have several different brushes. Some are designated black. Some are designated neutral. Some are designated brown. And then some are different colors. Like if I use them on a pair of red boots, I will write red over the top of that brush and won't use it again on another color other than that. So I've got several brushes in my kit that have never been used, and it's, you know, once a customer sits down with a strange color, then that's what that brush becomes. And you can see that, like I say, you can see the difference just between the buffing brush and the nylon that she's doing now. You can see the shine that this nylon is bringing out.
The shine that's coming up is remarkable.
Those look absolutely amazing. She's doing a great job. See, Lily, it's not so bad with your mentor standing over your shoulder.
When we started, we had talked about your title. Tell me about the title and when you got it.
I am the North Carolina Bootblack 2012. That title hadn't actually been carried for about 9 years before I earned it. There was no North Carolina Bootblack. And then in 2012, at the North Carolina Leather Weekend, Unity and Understanding, they held the 2012 Bootblack contest. I was the only contestant, but managed to earn my points. enough to carry that title for a year, and then stepped aside in 2013. But was, you know, happy and proud to be able to represent North Carolina like that, doing something I love.
When you have a title, what do you do for that year?
There's a lot of traveling. There's a lot of talking. There's a lot of teaching. You are basically you become the face of North Carolina bootblacks. And sometimes it can be a daunting task. Whatever title you're holding, you are the face of that title. You are the public image. You are the one representing whatever it is that, you know, whether it Miss Southeast Leather, you know, the international community bootblack, whatever title it is, you become that public face. And you do a lot of teaching. You do a lot of traveling. You do a lot of sleeping on other people's couches, sleeping on floors. There's a lot of public interaction. Lily's now relacing your boots and hoping she gets it correctly.
She's paying very close attention right now.
She is. She's concentrating very hard right now. A title holder is basically spend their title year teaching, doing presentations, being guests at events, you know, in their region or like, you know, as a North Carolina bootblack, I traveled across North Carolina, sometimes up into Virginia, down in South Carolina. You know, at this contest we're here today, the Southeast Leather Contest, will travel across the Southeast from Virginia's a part of it, down to Florida. You know, we'll travel all over the Southeast. And there are different regional contests. And then there's, you know, the international contest past that point. A little stretching action going on there. Your back can get a little cramped up when you're bending over somebody's boots for a while. I can attest to that one.
Well, we look forward to see Lily in the contest here in the next couple of years.
We're talking about that.
Do you want it any tighter, or is that good?
That's perfect, right, the way it is.
One of the things we try to pay attention to when doing the finishing job here, it's not just lace them up and send them on their way. You want to make sure they're comfortable when they leave the stand. So mm-hmm. You know, you want to check and make sure the laces are tight enough, or are they too tight? You know, do I need to loosen that up a little bit? Do you like to wrap the laces around the top of your boot, or do you just want me to tie them? You know, attention to detail all the way to the end. And now she's going to refer back to the first boot that she laced to make sure she's doing the second one correctly.
This is great information for our listeners that really don't know what goes on at bootblack stands.
Mm-hmm.
And you've given a tremendous detail. Thank you for that.
Thank you for the opportunity. Quite a bit of fun right here. Speaking of laces, oftentimes you will find a bootblack carries extra laces in their kit. It's not uncommon for a customer to sit down whose laces are just about shot. And we will offer to replace their laces for them. I carry different colors of, in addition to extra boot laces, I carry different colors of paracord, which we can use as boot laces. I think I've probably got, you know, 10 or 12 different colors in there for somebody that just wants to spice up their boots for the night. And paracord is cheap. Dozens of different colors and patterns, and you can give the boots a little extra pop. And we're almost done. Double checking that lacing pattern there. A little adjusting of the tongue. She's going to tighten you up here. And again, verifying they're not too tight or too loose. We're going to tie you up and roll your pants back down.
And
now we're going to refer to you for the final inspection.
Well,
One final little dust off there. Then as your feet are back on the floor.
I can see my face in them. I think that's a good sign.
That's yeah. Definitely a good sign.
All right.
Lily, that was a great job.
Thank you very much. That was a great job.
Thank you.
And thank you, Tidbit, for the great running play-by-play in color.
Running commentary. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
To hear more of the Southeast Leather Fest Extravaganza, click on your back button.